This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Eminem Ward's new album, Post War.
So you'll have to pick just three, and I said, what do you do with the pieces of a broken heart? And how can a man like me remain in the light?
I do, because the public won't acknowledge my love for you. They ain't slanging. get no checks from under this roof right here. You don't hear me though, I promise you to do the best I can. I'm on both knees asking you to be your man. I'm talking wedding dance, diamond rings and things that bling. A ceremony held that it won't take a long way. Cause I know it's you, the one I really wanna give my life to. The one I wanna give my life to. Now I know many folks don't understand to tell the truth. I could really give less than a damn, and any relative that ain't relative to us will object to a union and invitation. No matter, as long as we got the rings and best man, true family and good friends. Oh yeah, and one more correction: you won't be my lover anymore. You'll be my husband, a wife.
I know it's the one I really wanna give my life to.
The program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 a.m. on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast. And in Washington, President Bush is recovering from his colonoscopy.
Now wait.
Doctors were impressed they were able to get the camera up past his head. And while there, they found no sign of brains or weapons of mass destruction.
I see.
This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, listener sponsored, commercial free. You know the rest of the story.
Yes.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. How you doing, honey?
Sick.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Stanley came in tonight, so we both missed Sinfest. And I was so looking forward to that, because, you know, when Michelle and Whitney put something together, it's going to be really, really good.
Yes, I was going to go too, but my...
Yeah. The Pansexual Kink Fest that is still going on, actually, over at Club Meridian in the 1500 block of Chartres, 1503, as I recall.
Yeah, it looks like an interesting venue. I was checking out the site to see where it was at to try and find.
Uh-huh.
One of our friends is holding a little event there later in their next month.
Who?
Brad Rich.
Really? What's he doing?
A birthday party. Birthday party, backyard party. It's a birthday backyard party.
For who?
Himself.
Oh, okay. Well, he deserves it.
Yeah.
And you know there's going to be really rocking music if Brad Rich is putting it together.
So
really rocking music.
He's been here a long time.
Longer than me, actually.
God.
I know, it's hard to believe.
He came in as a fetus, apparently.
Yes, he had to have. my goodness.
We started off the show with...
Yeah, some brand new music from one of our favorite Scottish lesbians, or lesbians anyway. Horse has a brand new CD coming out September the 4th, but we got a preview copy. And I'm telling you, folks, it's very satisfying, no fillers. Every song is good on this CD. What's the name of it?
We played Every Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my absolute favorite. For a first listen through, that one jumped up at me. But there's quite a few on there that I have.
He used to put quite a bit of Pink.
Yep. I love it.
And followed up with Tori Fix.
Hey.
And since the previous show was talking about marriage and all that, I figured I'd play a song called Marry Me.
Marry Me by Tori Fix, yes. Yes. Actually, that was... he had a list of things that... it was his most direct show that I've ever heard. I mean, he actually had lists of do's and don'ts and stuff like that. So, that was good. That was good. That was
real
good.
We've got...
Theater Suburbia!
Theater Suburbia is here in a moment.
Yes.
And later on, we'll have a Black on Black.
With Christopher.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. But we've got some community things going on. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star is proud to present... Summer of Love, Bring Out Your Inner Hippie. Presented by Count 23 MS Gill. That's happening Friday, July the 27th at 9 p.m. at George, located at 617 Fairview. And then the next night, the same group putting on a show called For the Girls, a USO show benefiting Assisters. And that's being presented by Imperial Prince Royale 23 Falcon and Grand Duke 23 Scott Kenyon. That's Saturday, July 28th at 9 o'clock at Chances, the new barn. That's located at 1100 West Timer, just right across the side street from Mary's,
naturally. Think of it as the lesbian triangle.
There you go.
No semen allowed.
What's going on at the community center this week?
Oh, I just started reading. Yeah. First take
yes.
two.
Okay.
Fresh Start Church.
Yeah.
Worship at the community center on Sundays.
Sunday.
Associate Minister Jason Black. For more information, contact him at jasonblack1986@yahoo.com.
Uh-huh.
This was something else on about him. There. Oh. It also holds a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30.
Oh, I didn't know that.
After the parade is over, the Post-Pride exhibition, organized by the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History,
ta-da,
which meets and displays some of its collection at the community center, and MECCA, the Multicultural Education and Counseling Through the Arts, remains on view at MECCA, 1900 Kane, through mm-hmm. August 3rd.
That's right off of Washington Avenue at Lubbock. You go a couple of blocks down Lubbock, and it's right there. Or for folks who used to go to the old RMCC church.
Back when it was MCCR.
Back when it was MCCR, yes. It's just like a block and a half behind it.
AIDS Foundation Houston holds a positive opinion leaders meeting at the community center at Tuesday at 6 p.m. The Montrose Softball League is meeting on Tuesday at 6:30. Positive Brothers United at Tuesday at 7. Tuesday's a busy night.
It certainly is.
Also, the Futures Conference Working Group is on August 11th from 1 to 4 at the Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they are working on the gay agenda.
Ooh.
New Rainbow Poetry Club, Poetry Club, Scorpio's Rainbow Poetry Reading Club, will be on August 11th.
Cool.
Men's Gathering of Houston is on the 2nd and 4th Saturdays of the month at the Community Center. Poet and entertainer A.C. Coleman is planning the third of his wonderful jazz, poetry, and art evenings in September.
Good.
Look forward to that.
Good. He is so good.
The Houston GLBT Community Center is located at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. For more information, go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org.
Okay. Imperial Court of Houston, some of the things coming up. Next week, of course, Sunday mornings, always, from 10 o'clock to noon. You can have breakfast at Mary's, naturally, if you just have to have that Bloody Mary a little earlier than the bars normally open. You can go there, have breakfast, and have Bloody Mary or whatever it is you'd like. Rose is behind the bar, and she'll be more than happy to fix whatever you would like. And, of course, every Wednesday is Jukebox Show at around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And this Wednesday is going to be the monthly birthday celebration, so there's going to be food and fun and cake and all of that kind of stuff going on. And then next Saturday night is a runway show. At EJ's. Well, that'll be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then from the Houston Council of Clubs, we want to remind you that Ace Weekend, Alamo City Entertainment Weekend, which is the Alamo City's
version. Latin Louis.
Yeah, Latin Louis. I love it. Let us entertain you. Is August 2 through 5. And HCC will be hosting first reception after the show of shows on Sunday, August the 5th. For more information or to register, please go to dubcubed.aceweekend.com. Okay. And I do want to, I know this is a little bit in the future, these next two items, but I wanted to promote Morgan Fairview, who is the new mother of Montrose,
uh-huh,
because it's her first show. It's called Mother's First Born. Please join the newly crowned mother of Montrose, Morgan Fairview, as she hosts her first mother's show, Sunday, August the 12th, 5 o'clock at Mary's, naturally. And this is a direct benefit for Legacy Community Health Services. And then later on, August 24th, 25th, and 26th, you'll be hearing more about that on the Leather Ties segment, is Spank Fest, the second annual Spank Fest. They had such a good time last year and had nice red asses that they can't wait to do it all over again.
You can't beat the fun they had.
I mean to tell you. Whew. Yes, we will promote anything on this show. Yes, indeedy.
All right, so where are we going from here?
We are telling you to take a break from the heat and the rain and bring your family and friends to Theater Suburbia's annual Melodrummer. And we just happen to have Theater Suburbia folks right here in the studio.
Hold on,
hello, Doris.
Hello, Jimmy.
How you doing?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the difference between a lesbian and a Scottish lesbian?
A bra.
You emphasize the fact that I'm just curious. I mean, you know.
Well,
depends on the kind of shillelagh she keeps in the nightstand.
Okay. Sorry I asked that question.
We have played her music for years and years and years, and she came to the States twice and was a guest on After Hours, and we talked about her being a Scottish lesbian who recorded in London and had a huge success in America. So that just kind of came out. I didn't mean to say like Scottish. And
did she have a huge bra?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, we are doing our annual.
That had to have been Glenn.
you got it. We are doing our annual summer melodrammer.
Yes.
She was only marginally modest. You no shame?
That's what we like to hear.
And it's got a cast of millions.
I see that. My goodness, they're pouring out the door.
It opened last night. Plays through August the 25th, mm-hmm. on Friday and Saturdays, with four Sunday matinees on July the 29th, August the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th.
Ah.
And to make reservations, of course, all you have to do is call 713-682-3525.
Shows sell out quickly.
Yes.
We have the same cheat sheet, don't we?
One Sunday is almost already sold out.
You're kidding.
No.
I know that this show sells out really, really fast, so folks, you've got to call in like right now and get those tickets.
Of course, if they do mention After Hours, we will give them a 2-for-1.
Wow. I can't believe you do that for the melodrama.
Yeah,
too.
Well, you know, what the heck, we like you.
Yes.
Doris is answering the phone right now.
that's what the buzzing is from over there.
Yes. Yes, in fact,
what I have to put up with.
I left a message on Doris's line.
I know, and I haven't killed you yet.
No, you haven't. Well, you said spell your name. So I did.
That was to make reservations, dum-dum. You were supposed to be answering my question.
And I did.
Anyway, we have, I think, the entire cast, except for our piano player, who is going to be 91 in October, so she doesn't stay out too late.
That ain't no excuse.
Yeah, well, you know Tony. She's like that.
Yeah.
But everybody else is here, okay. Including our stage manager and our tech guy.
I see the tech guy. He's been here before.
Yeah, he loves to come down here.
Yeah, Jimmy likes looking at techies.
Oh, yeah.
And techers.
All over.
So, would you like to meet them all before we...
I would.
Jimmy just likes looking.
And you better hope that's all I like to do.
He says that from a safe distance behind glass.
That's right.
Go ahead, Danny.
My name is Danny Lures. I play a Monopoly Belle, better known as Ma. And she's the owner of the Dead Moose Lodge.
Dead Moose?
And she's fending off the lecherous advances of Judge Jerry McBride.
Yes.
My name's Laura Pavlika, and I play Gladiola.
Gladiola.
My name's Joe Miles. I play Judge Jerry McBride.
Are you the one?
Oh, yeah.
He's
I'm hot to trot after Mom.
You're wet.
My name is Rebecca Rosenberg, and I play Miss Marginally Modest, the heroine.
Aww.
Aww.
Ooh.
My name's Adam Roch. I play the hero.
Yay!
I enjoy fishing and stamp collecting.
Together? Together?
Yes, at the same time.
I'll be right back.
My name's Nicole Varga, and I play Wilhelmina Worm. The villainous. She's a villainess that's not so evil after all. Aww. She just wants to be loved.
My name's Veronica Johnson. I play Prunhilda Pincher.
Prunhilda?
Pincher. I'm a 47-year-old.
What the hell you say?
I know.
Boy, so, they must have put a lot of makeup on you.
Yes.
So I'm James Plake. I play Turkey O'Trot. So oversized, underbrained wood chopper.
Sounds just my type.
You're in trouble, man.
Oh, please, Jimmy. Your type is breathing.
Who?
It's Violet Burchill.
Oh, yes.
I'm stage manager.
I know you are.
Have to keep these ones in order.
She's Irish, not Scottish.
But she's not a lesbian.
But she's got to keep that crowd in order. She's got a big job.
I'm Marilyn Faulkner, and I play Hattie Hogg.
Hattie Hogg?
Yeah, I have a pig farm.
Oh, my God.
And Bull Moose Holler. And I have the hots for the judge who has the hots
for Ma. Okay. I see a triangle here.
Just one.
I'm Judith Mallerny. I play Granny Fanny. I've only been married 6 times, but I'm still looking for another man.
Oh, honey. You get the wrong place, yeah.
My name is Chris Stafford. I play Reuben Z. Patsy, the good judge who sends them all to jail. And I have 13 children, and my wives keep dying.
He must work fast.
I'm the tech guy.
Hey, tech guy.
I'm Glenn Dodson.
Yes, you are.
Guess who I play? My name in this show is Brad Apple.
Brad Apple?
Yes.
He's a bad apple.
No, I'm a Brad Apple.
Brad Apple.
And yes, one Brad Apple spoils the whole bunch.
Oh, my goodness.
And what I'm really after in this show is the heroin.
Which one?
But I buy the Dead Moose Lodge in the process.
Actually, he's after all.
I mean, with a name like that, you got to have characters with the names they've got.
That's great. Who wrote this?
Some guy named Vern Harden. Wow. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And
Vern Harden? Yeah, like, that's a real name.
What can I say?
You know, your listeners probably think you fixed all this.
No, I'm an innocent bystander. These folks just came in. They're doing all of it.
And you think they believe that.
So, you're going to do a couple of scenes for
us? Yeah, I'll do a few.
Good.
Okay. Page 6, guys.
Oh, woe is me. Alas, alack and lackaday. I am ruined. Ruined. Do you hear me? Done unto death. I shall never recover. Oh. Or at least not for a week. Why, I ask you, should the evils of the world fall upon my frail but shapely shoulders? Is there no justice in this world? Why must I, a girl who is only marginally modest, my friends call me Marge, why must I suffer the slings and arrows of this cruel world, driven from honest employment, my life's work, by that evil, so evil, that despoiler of virtue, so despoiled? But wait, what's this? A simple cabin? The Dead Moose Lodge. I wonder if they're anything like the Elks, the Lions, or the Chamber of Commerce. Perhaps these kind but simple folks will give me refuge.
Hello there, young lady. Can I do something for you?
A boon, a refuge, a haven. This is what I seek.
Then you got the wrong place, little sister. This here sure ain't no heaven. It's the Dead Moose Lodge. Ain't had more than one customer in the past 6 months.
A nest, a hideaway, a respite from the world. Only you can save me.
Well, I don't know about that. I ain't very good at saving people. Never had much practice. Did save a chipmunk one time. Got his tail caught in a crack in a log. I whipped out my pare knife and lopped it off. After that, I think he grew up to be a bobcat. Or maybe a bob monk.
Well, then you'll do the same for me?
Why, you got your tail in a crack.
How quaintly she puts things. You might say that. Allow me to introduce myself. I am marginally modest. My friends call me Marge.
Howdy do. My name's Monopoly Belle. My friends call me Ma. Now, what's this here problem you got?
Do I dare be frank with you?
I thought your name was Marge. Make up your mind, young lady. You can't be everything to everybody, and I ain't got all day.
Very well. I shall be frank.
All right, Frank. What's eating you?
No. My name is Marge, but I will be frank. Alas, even the simple peasant woman cannot understand the dire straits I am in.
Dire straits? Is that anything like a corset?
Oh, Ma, how can I make you understand? I am pursued, driven from my home, chased by a man most foul.
Sort of a bird brain.
Worse, much worse.
Hey. Seems to me like a pretty young thing like you wouldn't mind a little chasing. I remember back to when I was just a young slip of a girl. I didn't mind the chasing. Didn't mind getting caught now and again neither.
But you don't understand.
Oh, don't give me that. Times ain't changed that much. I don't care if it is 1883.
84.
You don't say.
But he's a villain. A hideous, cruel beast of a man who would stop at nothing to have his way.
He don't sound like much fun.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, miss, whoever you are.
I'm modest.
I should hope so. If you're sure you ain't just playing games, I'll protect you.
Oh, would you?
Protecting people takes a lot of thinking. What we need is some advice. Just a minute, and let me bugle at my friends.
Gracious, what was that?
I just gave a little toot for my friends, Granny and Brunhilda. They live over the hill, down in the hollow. They'll be over directly when they hear that.
Sue-wee! Dag-nabbit pigs, where are you?
Sue-wee! Hattie! What in the world are you hollering about? Don't you know we got problems in here?
Howdy, Ma. Have you seen any of my pigs around here? A whole bunch of them plain just disappeared into thin air, and I'll be switched if I can find them. Sue-wee! Pigs, come home!
Will you stop your bellhorn for a minute? Your voice is enough to knock the fillings out of my teeth.
What's your problem, Ma? And who's this skinny little thing? You get some meat on your bones, and you might be a pretty kid someday. By the way, I'm Hattie Hogg.
How do you do? I'm Marge Modest, and thank you, I think.
Now tell me, Ma, what's your problem?
It ain't mine, it's hers.
Hers? She ain't big enough to be no problem. You know, little sister, if you was to eat about 2 pounds of fat back and hog jowls every day for a year, you might pick up a little lard.
Oh, that must be Granny now. Oh! Why, hello, Gladiola. What brings you to this neck of the woods? Well, as long as you're here, you might as well come on in. Miss Marge, this here's Gladiola. She lives up the road a piece. She don't say much, but she's right cheery company to be around.
How do you do, Miss Gladiola?
What's this here problem that's got you all flustered?
This man, an evil man, has driven me from my place of employment.
Could you be a little more exact? I never met a man that wasn't a no-account, lazy, shiftless, worthless bum.
Now, don't you say that about my late husband, Hattie. Pa was a saint in man's clothing.
Reckon so, but my husband was such a no-good. When he died, I took up raising hogs in memory of him. Now, it looks like I can't keep them at home nights either.
Keep your hands off me, girl. I can walk by myself. What do you think I am, an old woman or something?
Now, Mama, you know you shouldn't go out walking like this. Isn't good for your heart. Oh, Doc Livingstone says.
I don't care what Doc Livingstone says. I'm old enough to make my own decisions. And when Ma calls for help, I answer. That's a code of this hill. Now leave me be.
Oh, if you just let me help you.
Help me? Help yourself, Brunhilde. What you should be doing is helping a husband and tending babies.
Ma, I'm waiting for the right man.
Well, right or wrong, you better find him pretty quick. Dried up, skinny old maid.
I think I hear Granny coming now.
Ma, don't talk like that. I'm not no maid.
Well, you ain't getting any younger.
Granny, I sure am glad you come a-running. We got a problem.
I don't run as fast as I used to for some reason.
Must be the weather.
Yep, too many years of it. Hey, who is this young child?
Granny, this here is Miss Marge Modest. Marge, this is my oldest and dearest friend, Granny Fanny. And this here is her daughter, Brunhilde Pincher.
She's an old maid, and I ain't got me no grandbabies.
Oh, ladies, I'd be ever so grateful if you could help me. This vile man has driven me from my place of employment. I fear he means to ruin me.
Bring him around to my place. I'll feed him to the hogs.
You know, in my experience, men are all alike.
Your experience? You ain't never been closer spitting distance to a man under 70. What could you possibly know about men?
Well, they all want just one thing. And buy money.
What else would they want?
Mama, please.
Oh, hush up. You want advice on men, you come to the right place. I buried four husbands. Other two got clean away. What do you want to know about men?
How can I make him leave me alone?
Ask Brunhilde, she might have a few ideas.
But he's a villain, most vile.
Yep, so was a couple of mine. Numbers 3 and 5, I think they was, or maybe it was 2 and 6. Never could keep all them fellas straight. Now, what's your problem?
I just told you, this man means to destroy me.
You'll have to excuse Granny. Her mind ain't what it used to be.
And my body ain't neither.
Please answer the question, Mama.
What question?
How do I get rid of this man?
I buried all of mine.
I fear I cannot bury Mr. Apple.
Then skin him. Tell him you got 6 kids and want to marry him so they'll have a daddy to pay all the bills. Would you tell that laughing hyena to hold it down? She's making my bunions ache.
But 6 children? That would not be honest.
Then you ain't got but one choice. Get yourself a big frying pan and cave his head in the first time he gets out of line. As I recall, that's what happened to husband number 2. Or was it number 4? Tapped him a mite too hard and poof, I'm single again.
But I abhor violence.
Then marry him. Them's your choices. Well, I gotta go now. So long, Ma. You need any more help, give me a toot. Come on, Brunhilde. Let's go see if we can figure out a way to catch you a husband before you get any older.
Mama, I'm not old. 47 is not old. I'm merely being particular. I won't, Mr. Wright.
Right, left, ha! Huh. I still ain't got me no grandbabies.
I got to get going, too. I got to find them hogs and get them home where I can tend to them proper. Ain't no hog nor man around that can get along without a woman looking after them. Come on, Gladiola, you can help me look. Hogs or men, no matter which, they're all alike.
Okay, Glenn and Joe.
Curses, where is that woman gone? There's never one around when you need them. She must be around here someplace.
Drat, drat, triple drat. Here I am, the model of a man, and I can't win the woman I love. What's wrong with this world? I, a judge of impeccable reputation, and I can't win the heart of a Monopoly Bell. Unthinkable.
Excuse me, sir.
You know me?
Of course. Who does not know?
McBride, Judge Jerry McBride.
Of course, I'd know you anywhere.
And you are?
Mr. Bradley Apple, Esquire, at your service.
Don't I know you from somewhere?
I hope not. No, I don't think so, Your Honor. I'm new in these parts. Only been doing business here a short time, so to speak.
And where were you before?
Up the river.
What?
The Moose Paw, near the Moose Paw River. Doing time. Business.
Yes, how can I help you?
Do you ever give advice, Judge Jury?
Give? Don't forget to bribe.
Beg pardon?
Make bribes, son. Most important part, don't forget the bribe.
Of course, Your Honor. How foolish of me to forget. This old coot is smarter than I thought.
We must never forget the important things in life. Now, what were you saying about advice?
I need some advice from an older, wiser head like yours. How would a young man like myself get into business around here? I have a few small things going, but what I need is a base of operations.
You have money to invest?
A modest amount.
I see. How can I help you? Oh, perhaps I can be of help to you. Scout around, check out the locals, handle the paperwork, make sure everything's legal, you understand?
I would be most appreciative.
How much?
How much?
How much appreciation would you show? Or how much do you have to invest?
But of course. If this were costing me money, I'd be furious.
Yes. Just so happens I know a business for sale.
You don't say.
Quite.
Profitable?
Relatively.
How much?
What would you consider a fair amount?
Would this do?
The exact amount. Congratulations. You're now the proud owner of the Dead Moose Lodge. No strings attached.
Eureka! I have it! The last link in the chain. My empire is complete. And now I must away. Your eyes may gleam and your teeth may glitter, but never try to out-slick a brat apple.
At last, the Widow Bell is helpless. When she finds out I've sold her lodge, she'll have to come to me for help. I've got her exactly where I want her.
Halt!
How dare you accost a judge? Who are you?
I am Sergeant Seymour Stoutfellow of the Royal Colorado Mounted Police, here to fight crime, skullduggery, and evil doing. And who are you?
I am the judge, Jury McBride, upholder of the law, defender of the helpless, and all-around good guy. Sometimes.
I beg your pardon, honorable sir, but we in law enforcement must be ever vigilant, suspecting everyone, always prepared and all that.
Of course. What are you doing here?
Haven't you heard? Someone has been annoying the moose here in Colorado, the last preserve for our great horned friends. It is my job to apprehend this culprit and bring him or her to justice.
Pestering our moose?
Yes, a dastardly crime committed only by dastards.
And whom do you suspect?
Everyone. Even now, I am preparing to make an arrest.
I'm not guilty, on my honor.
Not you, Judge. In fact, I may have need of your services.
I think that can be arranged. How soon would you like to hire me?
How do you do? I'll be needing your judgeship just as soon as I make an arrest. We must have a fair but speedy trial.
Yes, yes, of course. There's always a good profit to be made in a trial.
And now I must be about my duty. I shall begin by questioning the folks in this simple cabin.
And I shall be off to prepare for trial. We'll hang them all.
But only after a fair...
But speedy.
...trial.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to judge I go.
Okay. Adam. Miss Modest.
Miss Modest, I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, please, good sergeant, do not arrest me. I am but a poor working girl, and if I were to be arrested, the shock would kill my poor old mother, if she were not already dead.
I would never arrest a person for doing honest toil. I seek only those dangerous criminals who would despoil our environment and pester our moose.
But I have done nothing other than try to survive this cold, cruel world and be of honorable service to my fellow citizens.
And I would never arrest you. Come, let me see your kind-hearted face.
Alas, never have I seen such manly charm. I think my poor heart will break.
But this, the most beautiful woman in the world, and she cannot stand the sight of me. Alas, this is an unhappy day for Seymour Stoutfellow.
What in thunderation is going on in here? I thought I told you not to interfere with her work. Now look what you've gone and done. The girl's standing around, taking a nap in the middle of the day.
I'm afraid she's fainted.
Then let's wake her up. Wake up, girl. You ain't done working yet.
Oh, what happened?
I'm afraid I did, ma'am. You took one look at my face and fainted plumb away.
I'm sorry, sir, but seeing you so close was more than my poor heart could bear.
Probably got a touch of the vapors.
But now it is my official duty to ask you questions. I must suspect everyone.
Ain't you done enough already? Getting this poor child all flustered? Ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Miss Modest, where did you come from?
Why, sir, my mother lived at home. I was born there.
No. Before you were here, where were you?
I worked at the Lost Waif Orphanage just over the hill.
And what did you do there?
I was but a working girl.
But what did you do?
Alas, I was the lowliest of all the workers. I milked the moose so the poor wee tots might have a drink.
You were the moose milker?
The one I've heard about? The one who could milk two moose at the same time?
Yes, it is so. It is I, the master multiple moose milker, Miss Marginally Modest.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You're famous.
No.
Nonetheless, I shall have to arrest you, though it breaks my manly heart to do it.
What's the charge?
Miss Marginally Modest, the master multiple moose milker, is a moose pesterer.
That's easy for you to say.
Not really. Try saying it three times fast.
How do you know she was pestering them? Who are you going to get to testify?
Nevertheless, I must arrest her.
And you're going to make her stand trial before that old coot judge jury?
Don't forget the bribe.
Old coot.
Alas, it is my duty. And a Colorado Mountie always does his duty.
Okay. Well, now go over to page 25.
I'm just wondering what manly charms he showed her that made her faint.
You're going to have to come see the show and find out, Jimmy.
You're
going
to have to come and see for yourself.
Uh-huh. It's very subtle, I'd but very persuasive.
And very manly.
Mm.
Okay, Wilhelmina Worm, starting with Mr. Apple, Mr. Apple.
Mr. Apple, Mr. Apple.
What do you want?
What am I to do with all these moose munchies? I dare not sell them.
Then eat them.
All of them, but my diet.
Dash your diet, now eat. Now, why are women always on a diet? Why aren't they perfect like we men? Like me. Now eat.
Over hill, over dell, I will chop the dusty trail. Hot dang, look at there. Can I nibble on one of your muffins?
I help! Oh,
where? Who? I'll defend you.
You will?
Of course. I always defend pretty young women.
You think I'm pretty?
You got something even better than pretty.
What's that?
Food.
Oh, could you? Would you? Might you?
Just name it, little lady. I'd do anything for you.
Oh, would you help me eat these moose muffins?
I could. I would. I am.
Okay, skip on over. Miss Worm, can I ask you?
Where?
Skip on over to the rest of yours.
Miss Worm, can I ask you a personal question?
If it's not too personal, Mr. Trot.
How come is it you let this old apple core peel you around?
Oh, alas, I owe him life itself.
You mean he's your pa?
Only my adoptive pa. He claimed me from an orphanage over the hill. And now I must do as he says, or he will send me back. Oh, and I couldn't bear that.
But you ain't no kid. You're a grown people.
If only that were true. I have no way of knowing when I was born. So if he says I am but a child, oh, I must take him at his word.
I can see you got a problem. I got one, too.
Yes? Oh, yes?
I'm still hungry.
I can see why people call you a turkey. Oh, there's more food at Mr. Apple's house. We could eat there.
Let's do it.
Okay, we got one more.
You bet. I love it.
45.
Okay.
With you and Reuben. 45. Cut the cards. Cut the cards.
Ready? Cut the cards.
Introduce him, whatever.
Make way, friends. Make way for the sporting gentleman, Rubens Z. Patsy. My kind of man. Ma, why isn't the table laid? My friend Reuben isn't a man to waste time.
Cut the cards, cut the cards. I'll take two.
Cards. Five cards stud. Jacks are better to open. $50 any.
Anything you say, I'll take six.
That seems fair.
What's this game called again?
Sucker poker.
This sounds fun.
Who where?
Did you have to ask?
Don't I get to see your car?
Why bother? All cars look alike.
Where's your Granny Smith manners, Apple? You haven't introduced me to this distinguished-looking gentleman.
Sorry, Ma, no time. We got cards to play and chickens to pluck.
Madam Ma, the pleasure is mine. Reuben Z. Patsy at your service.
Play your cards, Reuben. This time we're playing drawbridge. Queens are wild. One-eyed jacks only peek at the actions. Five, fours, and sevens are wild as long as they're on this side of the table.
How much can I bet?
This time we're playing 3-1. You bet $3, I bet $1.
That doesn't sound fair.
You want better odds? Okay. You bet $4 and I'll bet $1.
That's better.
I try to keep my customers happy. Hey, I win again.
Mister, I don't know much about cards, but I think he might be cheating.
Do you think so?
I'll check.
Hey, you want a deal?
Why, yes, thank you.
Don't mix them up. I've already shuffled.
This is fun. Do-de-do-de-do-de-do. I really appreciate what you're doing for me, Mr. Apple. That won't hardly none of my friends play cards with me. They say I'm not too swift. But I always say that don't matter none, because I sit down when I play cards anyway. Mr. Apple, how come you got so many extra cards?
Tools of the trade, my good man, tools of the trade.
Well, look at here. I got 4 aces. I win.
Sorry, I've got 5 aces.
Mr. Apple, I am the law. I arrest you for illegal gambling, running this house without a license, and cheating badly. In short, sir, you're applesauce, and you'll end up in the can.
Canned applesauce? Yuck! You can't do this. You're a gambler, too.
I, sir, am the Honorable Judge Legalways, the only judge who can tell good from bad, black from white.
Curses! Foiled again by another legal ploy.
Okay. So when are you coming to see the
that
show?
That writing is incredible. So's the acting.
Well, yeah.
Hey.
Then try it.
The directing was better.
Yes. Oh, what? It was impeccable.
Impeccable, yes. Definitely.
Especially since you're sitting next to a dastard.
Yeah.
Watch that.
How do you spell that?
Watch that.
I get my B's and D's mixed
up. Yeah, me too. Anyway.
Yeah, once again, when is it? It started last night.
We run through August the 25th on Friday and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer, we do 6 weekends, so we have 4 Sundays that we do.
Ooh, nice.
So July the 29th, August the 5th, 12th and 19th at 3 p.m.
Sold out.
So, and they're filling up fast. The 29th is almost sold out.
And
I mean, the 12th is almost sold out.
And on Friday and Saturday night, it's 8:30?
8:30. Yeah, okay. Actually, tonight we were almost sold out totally. We had a few seats left.
Wow.
And this is the first weekend.
Hey.
So, they love me. They love me.
I know.
They love to hate me.
A few of the criminals down at the courthouse came to see him. I don't know.
They loved it. Yeah, lawyers.
So how about popcorn sales?
Popcorn sales were good.
Yeah. This is for folks who don't know. This is the one where you get to buy popcorn and throw it
at the villain.
Yes.
And boo and hiss.
And boo and hiss. And say,
whatever else you want to do to it. I mean, no.
Hey. It's a kid's show.
I've been trying for years and, you know, it just won't work.
But no, it is really. It's an all family show.
Yes, it is. It is. And
I'm just not your kind of man.
Yeah, I know.
Thank God for you, Jimmy.
If we get to throw popcorn at the villain, what do we get to do to the hero?
Get to look at his manly charm.
He's engaged. He's engaged.
In what?
The Thursday before we close, they're getting married. He and the heroine are getting married at the theater.
Ain't that sweet?
Let me know when the bachelor party's done, because I'll get them all drunk before then.
Yeah.
Anyway, all they have to do is call 713-682-3525. Mm-hmm. We have a machine that service that answers 24 hours a day.
Yes, you
no,
do.
No, it's Doris.
Yes,
it's Doris.
Yes, it's Doris's voice.
Make sure to spell your name.
I called that today and heard it.
You spell your name?
I did indeed.
And the villain may not be back next year.
Yes, I will. I'll get an early parole.
Well, anyway, I can't wait.
For more information, they can check out our website, www.theatresuburbia.com. But anyway, come on down.
And where are you located?
1410 West 43rd.
At Ella.
Ella. Just off of 610 Loop and Ella Boulevard.
Easy to find.
You can find it.
I can find it. And, you know, I'm lost outside of the Montrose.
I know.
Well,
so when are you coming to see the show?
As soon as I get my old man out of town.
Oh, good. Okay.
You could bring him.
No.
No, you don't want him. No, we don't want him.
Did that once. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as he gets out of town, that'll be next week.
Good.
Okay?
Sounds good.
Can't wait to see it. It sounds really fun this year.
They've been having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
No. Spare them.
Anyway, once again, thank you for having us.
Oh,
we appreciate
you're very
it.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. Because what I heard was great. Just great.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Now, we're going to play a little music.
Well, yes, we wanted to... some of you may have not heard yet, but...
yes.
Earlier, this...
yes.
Let's wait till everyone passes out here.
We'll just put your hand over there. Yes.
Well, it was announced earlier this evening that Tammy Faye Messner had passed away on Friday morning. And, you know, it seems strange when we talk about televangelists and evangelists here on our show, but... Tammy Faye was good to our community.
Yes, she was. She was very good to this community.
Just reading down here.
Her and Jim J. Bullock.
Hey, we're still in the air.
We're friends.
Tammy Faye was known as one of the few evangelical Christians with the support of the gay community. She was one of the first televangelists to reach out to those with AIDS when it was a little known and much feared disease. In return, she told Larry King in July, when we lost everything, it was the gay people that came to my rescue. I will always love them for that. She was able to bounce back. In 1996, she co-hosted the Jim J. and Tammy Faye show with gay actor Jim J. Bullock. Back in 2000, a documentary based on her life, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance Film Festival. And she also appeared on The Surreal Life. One thing I thought was interesting is when she was on Larry King on Thursday, a few hours before she passed.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, she looked very, very sick. She was down to 65 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And he asked her what she wanted to be remembered for, and she said her eyelashes.
Oh, that was sweet.
But
very good, spoken like a true drag queen.
You bet.
So, in tribute to her, we're going to play our traditional dirge music.
You bet.
For Tammy Faye, and hopefully she'll straighten out the rest of them up there. And, you know, she's not going to be at the same place where Jerry Falwell is. Give him a smack for us, but it's too early. Okay. Is it 3 minutes?
Okay.
For Tammy.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart be lonely? For heaven, yes, heaven is my home. For Jesus is my portion and a constant friend is he. It is I, is on that little bitty sparrow. Then I know he watches me. If his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me.
I sing because I'm happy.
Yes, I'm happy.
And I sing
because
I'm free. Yeah. It is I. Then I know he watches me. So I sing
because
I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
And I sing
because
I'm free.
Yeah.
It is I.
Tammy Faye. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Billy Ray was the preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. In the backyard we'd go walking, then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was
what
he was.
What?
Ooh. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I've tried. When he starts sweet talking to me, coming to me, everything is alright. Kiss and tell me now everything is alright. Can we get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was. Was in his eyes, stealing kisses from me on the side, taking time to make time, telling me he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we've grown, and the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man, the only boy
Jeff Krasner, son of a preacher man. And unfortunately, I didn't have any I didn't have anything else queued. So, and Jimmy's not running it for the max. So, once we figure out what we're doing, seeing if Black on Black's going to be here, let's just go to this for right now. Thank you.
selection from Tony Barr from the CD Barr Parts, or Bear Parts, depending. It's B-A-R-R-E, Music That Fits. That was called You Know What to Expect. And you are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on KPFT Houston, the 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston. And I want to remind, I want to tell you, we have some exciting news. We have the transgender segment is back. It will be back next month, the fourth Saturday. And Melanie is going to be hosting that with her sidekick. It will be Mel Squared. Hey, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. Melanie is, I think, the only transgender that I know that I knew before she transitioned. So it's probably going to be a very, very different transgender segment than we've had in the past, because she's not from the political side of the transgender community. So you will be hearing more of the day-to-day stuff that transgenders go through. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be back. That'll be next month, the fourth Saturday of the month. Now, I have a little something here that I pulled off the internet, and we're going to discuss. So listen carefully, kids. We as humans see ourselves as the kinkiest of all species. The idea is more than false, as the advancing knowledge of behavior in behavioral sciences show that homosexuality, masturbation, oral sex, and other deviations from genital sex are something common in the animal world. Till now, about 500 species have been found to display homosexual behavior. The researches made on animals also confirmed the hypothesis that homosexuality is innate. Humans are outdone by far in the sexual field. Listen to this. Yes, you guys in there. Far outdone by our closest relatives, the bonobos. These apes employ sex for solving any conflict, and there are no taboos about sex, age, or number of partners, and the only interdiction is sex between mother and son. It appears that almost all bonobos are bisexual. David Great Bear will be happy to hear that. They copulate frenetically and often express sexual pleasure by screaming, especially females, in 66% of the cases engaging in homosexual activities. In a Japanese macaw troop, females have strong bonds with each other and form temporary lesbian pairs during the mating season. They stimulate genitally each other and express their pleasure by cackling. Male macaws also play homosexuality but do not form pairs, just like real life. Their contacts resuming to a one-night stand. You would not believe, but male homosexual sex is more frequent in American bison than heterosexual mating. Females only mate during the estrus period once a year, but bulls practice gay sex several times daily, even during this time, and over 55% of the copulations in young males are homosexual. Dolphins seem to be bisexual. Male bottlenose dolphins, the most common and widespread species, experience periods of exclusive homosexuality. Males practice oral sex between them. One dolphin rubs his penis of the other with its snout, but they also rub their erect penises against the body of their male companion. Homosexual sex is also common in giraffes. Wow, can you imagine them 69ing? And before mounting, the partners can affectionately rub their necks up to an hour. 5% of the male giraffes are found in any moment involved in homosexual conduct. In cob antelopes, lesbian sex can be practiced twice an hour during the mating season.
Oh, Seth, they got you beat. And homosexual conduct can count with 9% of their mating activity. One female approaches another female from behind, raises her foreleg, touching the other female between her legs before executing a mounting. You kick her in the vagina and then you get on top of her. Is that it? In the Australian black swans, homosexual pairs represent about 25% of all couples, and the homosexual couples can last for years. At times, these males employ a female for mating to get a clutch of eggs, but the future fathers chase the female after it has laid the last egg. Sometimes these homosexual couples steal the eggs of heterosexual couples, driving them away from their nests. In walruses, an age-related homosexuality has been observed. Males are sexually mature at 4 years old. Until then, they practice exclusively gay sex. The older males are bisexual, mounting females during the mating season and practicing homosexuality in the rest of the year. They rub their bodies together, hug one another, and sleep together. In gray whales, practicing homosexual orgies is frequently in males. As many as 5 individuals practice slip and slide movements, rolling around, splashing water, and rubbing their penises against each other. But biologists are really astounded by the Guinean cock of the rock, a splendidly colored bird from the mountains of northern South America. Almost 40% of the males are homosexual, and a small number of males even mate with females. Okay, discuss.
Coffee talk, apparently.
Welcome to coffee talk.
All right.
Talk amongst yourself.
Right.
I must admit that is very interesting what he said, though.
Isn't that incredible about these animals?
Okay, nothing,
penis rubbing.
Nothing about that even remotely shocks me at all, because...
sounds like some of the stuff that goes on in the bars around here.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, it's, I mean, this is not a learned thing. I mean, it's an innate thing. It just happens in the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. So why would anybody think it would be different in the human?
Okay, we're supposed to be different.
We're supposedly above the rest.
Yeah, well,
we're superior beings.
We can't accessorize,
except,
you know.
Except for the
more advanced thing. Makes
a you know what it is that separates us from the animals.
It often does use more of its brain than a human does.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We're close to dolphins, actually.
So technically, if you want to talk about brain usage, the dolphin actually is smarter than the human.
So we like to run.
But we're stuck on our pride, so therefore...
And not only do they play with each other, but if they will play with humans also.
Yes, they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of those species that actually last longer. I could probably give us pointers on how to increase our length of time with one another.
Yeah, no kidding.
See, wow, 3 months, that's it.
I mean, let's face it, the thing that drives me crazy is that, you know, the reason we've gotten so far away from the rest of what we call, we get into this us and them thing, and we tend to forget that human beings, by definition, are animals.
Yes.
Right. You know, we may be able to communicate with words, but every other animal on the creature on this planet has a way of communicating with others of its own kind.
And in so many cases of animals, mammals and reptiles, or the female only comes in season once a year or twice a year or something like that. What do you think the males are going to be doing the rest of the day?
Right.
Duh.
They're practicing.
You gotta practice.
Because as we know, males are always in season.
Yeah, you lose it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, just go into Craigslist.
I'm trying to make sure I don't lose mine.
Yeah, we've heard.
But out, maybe. Lose it? No.
Talking about the...
French Lick.
The females only being in the season, that reminds me of this dog I once had. She was a female wire hair terrier. Mm-hmm. Her name was Cinnamon. Not only was she a transgender dog, but she was also trans species. Because
really?
She would mount my male cats. She was a gay male cat in a female dog's body.
Right. Now, I'll go ahead and throw
to see that surgery.
I will throw this out that dogs will mount each other as a way of establishing a pecking order, too.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes, there's the smelling.
That
there's
also
a lot
sounds
more
like
than
some bars.
There's another species of the animal kingdom that will actually attack a human male if they're in the heat, and that is emus.
Really?
Yes. Hmm.
They find us hot.
Yes, if a female emu is in hot and heat, and you're the average Joe walking by and they're not gated up, you better learn how to run fast.
Or
if you haven't had any in quite a while and you really don't care.
Given what emus look like, that would be the equivalent of a gay man being attacked by Phyllis Diller.
Oh, come on. You know some of those farm boys wouldn't mind.
Right?
They got nothing better to do, you know.
Well, you might get a piece of tail.
Yeah.
Just that tail. Muscle relaxes with you.
But I'm really interested in the science.
Uh-huh.
There's
been two penguins in the New York
yes.
Zoo.
Yeah.
It's been
in
a couple
San Francisco.
For 20 years.
The San Francisco Zoo's got two penguins.
It's yep. the science that really yeah. says that this is something innate. This right. is something
That's
that they're
the
born with, and this is something that varies from species to species in the percentage of homosexuality.
And you'll hear people say that it's that, you know, you'll hear the conservative types saying that we're the only people who choose to.
No.
And I'm like,
choose my backside.
No. And hello, the rest of the animal kingdom.
That's the other thing I was thinking of today.
Animals would be doing it too.
Yeah, when people talk about sexual preference means that, you know, that's your first choice. And then there are second choices, but no, my first choice and only choice is male.
Exactly. My first choice is male, my second choice is my hand.
There you go.
That's why I hate that word.
My third choice is my left hand.
For Frelin 6, I have had one girlfriend in my entire life. It was in first grade.
Yeah, well.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, that was just playing doctor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, you know, as the guy who's, you know, the so-called, you know, the quote-unquote bisexual guy.
Yes.
Here, you know, I have always kind of wondered, you know, what question about how does quote-unquote orientation get determined? And one hand, yes, I get the idea that there's probably something that's innate, you know, how we're born, but I still have this sense there's more going on there. As in my case, I can consider myself bi. I would say I, in my judgment, favor the straight side. Yeah, I'll hang around you guys. So what's that inside?
Right.
You know.
This is called male bonding.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is that what they call it?
What are we bonding?
Yeah, but we got our clothes on. So
he said bonding, not bondage.
That was 2 weeks ago.
There are many forms of bonding.
Right.
And sometimes you do it with your clothes on.
Yes.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yes.
But, you know,
yes.
You know, point being is...
Is it nude radio night?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Any volunteers?
No.
Most of the people in here have the perfect body for radio.
Yeah. I know I do.
We know Virgin does.
Oh, how mean.
I know I do.
Hey, I'll take it off if you want me to.
Who said that?
I'm paying you to keep it on.
Virgin has a body of a god. It's Buddha.
Yeah, sweetie, I don't want to rub his tummy for good luck, though.
He might get a little happy.
And the problem with this is?
That's never been a problem on this show.
No. Trust me.
That has never been a problem on
this show.
Probably
is no one rubbing me.
She was flopping around here last week.
Because we know where it's been, and we don't. No.
like saying,
if you need it rubbed, come sit next to me.
Don't tempt
me. Oh, yeah. Yes, you need a bottle, honey. You got to rub him the right way.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm sitting in your seat from the other day.
That's right. You certainly are. Only I wasn't in it very long, was I?
No,
you weren't in it long.
No. Is that what all that creaking was in the...
Those were my knees.
I was playing Kinsey 6 in the other room just a minute ago.
I will follow him.
But, okay, we've heard about...
yes.
The penguins. Has anybody heard anything about any other type of animal?
I've heard about the bonobos in the past.
You
I've
have?
I've heard about the dolphins in the past, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, you've heard the joke about, you know, why does a dog lick himself?
Because he can.
Right.
Oh, my God, yeah, we all would.
Are you kidding? Some people
can you do that?
The house.
Yes, I can.
Oh, my God, can you show me?
Huh?
Right now?
Well, either that or during a music break.
Boy, talk about going head to head.
Well, for the record, years ago when I was, you know, 12 or 13 years old, and my back was a lot more flexible, I did give myself a blowjob.
You did?
Yeah. Like I said, my back was a lot more flexible, and I couldn't do it.
That's why yoga is a godsend.
Yeah. You have to start it early, though.
Is that the plan?
Too late for me.
actually, the pose that, you know, is similar to that is called the plow pose.
Plow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, coincidentally.
That's nice.
I've never been able to do that.
The Discovery Channel had a pack of gray wolves on, and they actually had one male that was actually exiled from the pack because of his homosexual tendencies.
You're kidding.
But he was then accepted into another pack of gray wolves and
welcomed with open legs, huh?
Actually, they tagged him they called him Timmy, and they followed him for about 5 years, and he kept trying to go to the same pride, but they would attack him.
Oh.
And finally he just left the pride and went to another pride where he was a little iffy about whether or not he was going to be attacked, and it's like being warmed up to. It's like you're out in the boonies and they attack you there, but yet you're introduced to the monstrous area, but you're still not quite sure, so you're kind of still skittish about it.
They'll attack you, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a new angle on puppy play.
it's a wonder how our species will condone our own, but yet we won't condone the animal kingdom because, like everybody assumes, we're supposed to be more intellectually advanced.
Oh, please, just because we can...
Intellectually, but not necessarily emotionally.
Correct.
Well, even if you look back in the human history, back in Julius Caesar and the Greeks and the Romans and stuff, it was fine back then, too.
But that was in a pre-Christian society.
Exactly, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, with those massive Roman orgies and the Greeks practicing pederasty.
Well, you know, that it really transferred into the early Christians.
Yes.
But it was never condoned about because that was the rich and wealthy.
Yeah.
You never really saw any type of middle class to lower middle class in any of those types of houses that they built. That was strictly rich, strictly hush-hush, strictly wealth and riches. I mean, it wasn't any middle class at all.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't unheard of. But yet they would have some uneasiness to if it was brought up in a subject.
That's the thing with. And, you know, I've always said on this show that I'm of the opinion that all beliefs, all spiritual paths, religious paths are valid for the people who believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, say that there are certain groups of people who have this idea that theirs is the only way to go, and thusly their rules apply to everybody. And when they're the ones with the power, they get to enforce their rules on everybody.
The golden rule. Who has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I mean, we have... And thusly, I mean, you know, all of the things that were norm pre-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, men who wore earrings.
Yes.
Yes.
Men, whether you were a man or a woman, that thing you carried your money in was called a purse.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you wore a dress.
And everybody wore something resembling a dress.
Right.
A toga, whether it's on a man or a woman, still looks like a dress.
Yes.
Or a tunic.
God or a tunic.
God bless the kilt.
Exactly.
Now in Italy, the only one who wears that is the Pope.
Yeah. I mean, and we're taking morality lessons.
Yeah.
Those who are Christian.
From somebody who doesn't play the game.
By somebody, yeah. I mean, by a man dressed who's wearing a dress, lives in a palace
with other men.
With other men.
Sounds like it's
and worships a guy who was followed around by 12 other men for 3 years.
Hello.
You know.
Didn't they used to call him Liberace?
All these homosexual undertones.
How did we get there from animals?
We're showing our intellect.
The evolution of conversation. It flows like a river sometimes. Yeah. It's a raging whitewater rapids, but, you know.
Now here, a couple weeks ago, I was looking on the internet. I was looking up one subject, which kind of led to reading up on another subject, and I found Wikipedia on nudism and different traditions and attitudes and stuff that other cultures have concerning dress or lack thereof, and how our culture is very can be kind of uptight about it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's because of
unless you're Gigi.
Puritanical, yeah, right.
Unless you're Gigi.
Influence.
Right, and yet there is commenters culture over in the South Pacific where the men go around wearing these sheaths on their penises.
Oh, yes.
I saw that National Geographic.
For some reason, they're at the
History
Channel. Yes. The guy takes it off, then he's considered naked.
Yes.
That's somehow bad.
And that looks really uncomfortable to walk around with this thing sticking straight out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're really, really long.
All the time.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, even in European, in England, and in the newspapers, a friend of mine is from Australia is telling me to do this in Australia too. They have what's referred to as the Page Three Girl, who is a topless woman, a photograph of a topless woman on the third page three of the local newspapers. And we got, of course, our culture is sort of, the toplessness is suggested, but if somebody actually does it, all hell breaks loose.
Janet Jackson.
Well, right. There you go. Yeah.
Janet Jackson.
You gotta love those pasties.
Even in the Native American culture, the homosexual person was normally the medicine man. It was really embraced versus an outcast.
Mm-hmm. And several, actually, many, many, many cultures over the course of history, homosexuals and those who were transsexual or bisexual were considered, godsends. They had mystical powers and such.
Yeah.
And the gift of
we had both genders.
There are at least
considered
in Italian
both
culture.
Genders.
Mm-hmm. In Italian pagan culture, there were two sects. There were two cults.
Mm-hmm.
And, before the word cult became such a hideous,
when it was a good word.
And all that. Before they started swallowing the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
there were two traditions. One was a lesbian group, and one was a gay male group.
Yeah.
They wore the opposite clothing. All of their celebrations were done the men's were done in makeup, wearing women's clothing, and for certain of the celebrations, they had they wore animal masks.
Really,
they portrayed themselves in the nature of the animals which were sacred to them. And since we went on the tear about, we began this with the subject of animals.
Yes, we did. Now we're talking about wearing them.
Yeah.
I guess I would have to be a lion then. Number one, I'm a Leo. Number two, I can do it 32 times a day and I bite and scratch.
Lord.
That and you've got a red mane.
Yes, you do.
And I take care of my pride. I love you guys. Most of you in a strictly platonic way.
Thank
God. Others of you in a physical manner.
It must be time for music.
What?
Huh? You just say that because I started talking.
No, no, no. No, because we were talking about all of this, and it just, I just happened to think of a little number by Candy Cane.
Or what's that? What's
in
that
the
one
jungle? The lion sleeps tonight.
But that's not what I'm going to play.
Darn it.
This is Candy Cane with Masturbation Blues.
Jack you off.
jack me off.
Shot tribute to the old Five Knuckle Shuffle here on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. And no one's rushing in yet. I'll have to find something else to play. Since they're still... Let's see. Listen to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Music we just heard was... that was Music Bear with Get Your Hands Out of My Pants. Before that, Pansy Division, Jack You Off. And it started off with Candy Cane, the Masturbation Blues. Oh, here comes the parade. Good, somebody answer the phone.
Yes, we're coming back in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, answer the phone first.
Okay.
I'll put your mic on. Right. Let's see.
Yeah.
So, I've got our incoming... Need some background music for that. Trying to find some interesting little news stories we can discuss, if I can read here. But, hi, everyone's back in there. Yeah, with... with the talk there of the, hey guys, your mics are on. With doing the triple shot of tribute masturbation there. I just realized, I was thinking last week there was on break.com. There was a cute song that I can't play on the air. It's a straight little song about a guy telling his girlfriend, basically, don't use your hands on my penis. You know, there's other things for you to do, and just keep your hands off. They're all scaly and quite hilarious, but they've used the F word way too many times for me to even try and edit out.
Jeez.
Yes, Jimmy?
We have a caller online, and for those in the talk studio, you may have to share headphones because you can only be able to hear him on the headphones.
Only one of my earphones works.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, then someone else. All right, so push the button. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening.
Hello.
Just wanted to, kind of open this up because I'm not the first in the gay guy to have straight friends that kind of cross the boundary of where the relationship is going. And I've always been one that, have no uncertain terms in friendships and always communicate everything out in the open. But there are certain times where you just don't know, are the text messages getting a little bit too much? Are the conversations getting a little too long? Just what is appropriate behavior for, what constitutes as in a gay emotional relationship versus, without any physical attraction to someone. I mean, I'm obviously physically attracted to that person, but are they physically attracted to me?
So you want to talk about boundaries between a gay and straight male relationship?
Right. And what are some key identifiers that it's crossed the line to somewhere where I can get confused?
Okay. Gang?
Well, I think you should just stop it where it starts making you uncomfortable. Like, say, well, hold up. Let's not go any further than this.
Or do you want to go further than this?
Well, like right where you said, stop it where it makes you uncomfortable. It doesn't necessarily make me feel uncomfortable. What I'm uncomfortable with is the possibility of false hope. Or, being led to believe by someone's actions or inactions. Or just, maybe he's just a really good guy and is... one of those rare cases where he actually is in touch with his own emotion and is able to share that with another, person of the same sex.
Well, see, the problem you're going to run into is, it gets to that point where you're constantly questioning the actions and trying to read something into everything of your contact with this person. And, it's going to start... to eat at you that you're not sure, and until you find out one way or another, you have to get rid of the fear part that this may ruin your friendship.
Yeah.
But just because, at least, it's going to sound bad to say, if you were to come out and say, hey, I'm just trying to figure out what your level of interest is, if it ruins the friendship that way, then at least it's on equal terms. If you let it sit and fester and you're interpreting everything, you're going to start to pull away. And he's going to think it's something he did, or, there's going to be issues there if you just kind of let it sit and it just festers and builds on that way, rather than get it out in the open, find out where you both stand. And even if both of you, if he gets, pissed off and leaves you for a while, as a friend, there's a better chance of him coming back.
Did you tell me when you and I were just talking that he has admitted that he's had sex with another man?
There has been a previous gay experience.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say sex with a man, but
okay. Okay. David Great Bear is our resident bisexual. Not that I'm saying that your friend is a bisexual, but someone who is a bisexual may be able to lend a little insight into this.
Mm, yep.
David?
Yes.
Because not only that, I mean, you run with a crowd like the Warrior crowd,
right,
who is a mixture of gay, straight, and bisexual men.
Right.
But the straight men are not
narrow.
Right. You know, we are, as a group, interested in personal growth and development and, you know, cultural diversity and being able, to get along with each other.
Is there anything you can offer to the this guy about his maybe straight friend or probably straight friend or...
Right. I know one of the first questions I had in mind about, you know, is this a good or bad thing? I keep thinking to myself, the question I ask is, you know, maybe check out what kind of side effects are there, you know. And since the thing in of itself may not be a problem, but it's having, you know, negative side effects, then yes, definitely be careful.
Yeah.
The other thing? Yes?
Well, I was just going to say, I think a large part of, you know, analyzing and overanalyzing a situation comes from, what are then my intentions?
Right.
You know, I can't control his reaction. I don't know if I'm just reading way too much into things. It could just be the excitement that I'm getting, you know, attention from a male at this point. You know, that he doesn't want anything else to do with me but just an emotional, and he's being an emotional connection. He's just opening up to someone who he trusts.
Right.
I think that's wonderful. But how am I reacting to it? And what am I looking for at this point? And I think I've established in my head that I want to respect the friendship that could possibly grow from this. But I'm just, it is in the beginning stages of a friendship, but, you know.
Well, that's the part you have to look at and decide where you are at with this relationship.
Yeah.
And where you want it to go, as in friendship or further and all that, you know. It's one of those difficult things, and... You know, you're going to second guess any way you go on that. You know,
yeah.
I had one person that I was chatting with that, you know, we were talking and all this, and he all of a sudden said, you know, he just wants to be friends. Friends only and all this. And I was hurt. I was very hurt, and I was upset because, you know, we had talked about, you know, doing other things. And we said, no, none of that's going to happen. It's just going to be friends. I was hurt by that statement, and I felt guilty about being hurt about that statement, that, you know, I wasn't looking for friendship, that I was just looking to fool around,
mm-hmm.
and I constantly was going over my mind going, you know, what an awful person I am saying this to a person that, you know, I'm sorry because you just want to be friends. I don't want to deal with you at all. And part of that comes from, you know, how it was led up to the point. You know, when you're getting to that point, and, you know, knowing that it's a gay person. In my situation, it was easier because I know the person was gay. I knew there was an attraction. We had both expressed that attraction. And once he wanted to change what we had been talking up to, it bothered me. And, I mean, it hurt me to a point where I don't speak to this person now online.
Mm.
And it's one of those things you have to... There's no quick fix answer. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. Any way you slice this, someone's going to get hurt.
Do you know if he has a girlfriend?
Single. Completely single. And I at this point, I don't believe that... and, you know, maybe our bisexual... attest to this, but I don't believe that it takes away any, you know, from the label of being straight or gay.
Uh-huh.
Having that sexual experience, I think, you know, I've had sex with girls, and I've been with a girl.
I agree.
And I think, you know, and I respect the fact that if one chooses to label themselves as straight, gay, bisexual, bi, chi, whatever, that just because you have one experience, just because you know, chop down a tree doesn't mean I'm a lumberjack. It doesn't limit you to that.
That's true, but...
But if somebody has another relationship going on, and anything were to occur between the two of you, you know, how would that, you know...
Well,
if there's another person involved, you know, how would that affect that third party?
Mm.
The other thing is, if he is really straight, and you may happen to have sex with him once, you probably that may be it. That one time.
Yep. Yeah, he's probably like a one on the
you know,
on the scale.
If he were bisexual or leaning more toward gay,
you might have a chance at a long-term sexual relationship with this guy, but if he's straight, it's probably going to be a one-time only if it ever comes to that.
Right.
My advice would be look at him as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even go there with any sexual expectation.
Right.
And if it happens, great. But just don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to be his friend.
Yeah.
Treasure the emotional investment.
And here comes Stephen, because he comes from Santa Fe, where there's lots of lots of straight boys there.
Yeah, many times in the barn, in the hay barn.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Spears and queers from Santa Fe.
You ain't got no horns.
Yeah. So what can you offer?
I was just going to say, there's a reason why the gay community has a saying, Sister Dick will make you sick.
Sister Dick will make you sick?
If you sleep with your friends, it'll ruin things.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
That's true. But, yeah, there was quite a few. One of my very first boyfriend / things, he was deciding whichever way, and I just found out a couple weeks ago he was bi. But, yeah, he was. It was really hard, and it happened once, and then we just, like, big
that,
time.
That was
that was it. Our friendship, everything ended abruptly.
Wow.
We had a partnership, a business, actual business
oh,
together.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I mean, everything ended abruptly after that, and it was a...
Whoa.
I was 19, very stupid. It was a, bad decision on my part.
Yeah. So you're saying...
I say don't. Don't even think But, I mean, I had a lot of other things invested in it, obviously, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if you do cherish this person as a friend, keep it as a friend.
Yeah,
that's
and
my suggestion. I'm
then here coming from a different perspective. Okay, so now we've addressed that the physical aspect isn't necessary for a successful emotional relationship with someone. And do I want to be part of their support system? Do I want to be a true friend? Yes. But when does then my emotion, like for instance, we share such deep thought and deep communication about what we feel personally that it's hard not to get attached any more than just the friendship level because it is such at a deeper level.
Well, he may be feeling a brotherly love towards you while you're feeling a more emotional and wanting a sexual relationship with him. You see where I'm...
And a straight bond to if he's a straight guy,
he can give you brotherly love, but that's as far as it's going to go.
Yeah. And they have different communications around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to remember, in ancient times, the word love, there was 50, 60 words that conveyed the word love. We use the same word.
Yes.
So, you know, your love of pizza... is the same for your love of another man or for the love of a woman.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, there could be that bond.
Yeah. But he's feeling it as a brother.
Right.
And I actually, I'm just tempted to feel more. But that's just the nature of, like, you know, meeting someone new and not knowing.
Well, and
specifically with all that information of, you know, like, you know, just the past experiences of...
That if you're not willing to settle for a brotherly love, then this is a relationship that could hurt you.
Yeah,
right.
I have met over the last several years a great many incredibly attractive, incredibly nice human beings, and I have made some very great friends. That having been said. I would rather keep their friendship and not let myself push that envelope with the possibility of ruining a perfectly good friendship. While a romantic relationship is an important thing to a lot of us, I think my friends, in the end. Having somebody as a friend is 1,000 times more important than risking that friendship.
Lovers come and go, but friends are forever.
You bet.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Bros before hoes, man.
And when you have gay friends who are your friends, and there's no, I mean, it's a brotherly love on both sides. You know it.
There's no expectation there.
Yeah.
So
right.
You can really get hurt in this situation fast.
But I have accepted the fact that I, just seeing where the pattern is going, and yeah, I am digging a little bit deeper in the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and like, oh, you know, could I be possibly setting myself up for failure because I'm analyzing it way too much. You know, even the smaller things, like, oh,
what did he mean by this? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, well, you know, well, why was he thinking of me at this time of day where he said this? And I realize that I can be much greater of an asset to, you know, to any one of my straight friends. I mean, remove the name, remove the person. Just in any general situation like this, I can be much more of an emotional asset to someone. Then I can be, you know, that pleasurable moment then and there where, you know, it's just an urge or satisfaction of lust or
yes.
that physical contact. Because I know that I can share that intimacy with them because we obviously have had intimate moments of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good I am at giving head, it still doesn't matter. I will be able to have a lasting, long relationship.
Look at him as a brother and spend some time at the bookstore. Yeah, look at him as a brother and spend some time at the bookstore.
Yeah, being good at oral is not just in sex anymore. I do need to let everybody know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yes, yes. Have we answered your question?
You have. You've actually helped me take a little bit more insight as to what I should really be focusing on versus what I'm channeling my energy to, because I'm really channeling it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the hypotheticals of, you know, could this be a physical one night thing? But I really should just focus on, you know, great person to have in my life. I'm obviously attracted to this person. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have to be physically attracted. It could just be an emotional attraction that leads to friendship and a long-lasting relationship.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Another thing, that I'd like to say is, instead of spending so much time over analyzing and thinking about this thing, find something to keep yourself busy. Find something to keep your mind off of it so much.
Well, that's easier said than done.
Well, then again, just come down to 419, love it, and we've got a meat market here.
We have something for everyone here tonight.
This is the meat market. I'm the butcher.
Oh, speaking
of... I'm available.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling.
Well, thank you, and a shout-out to the Houston Nomads and Cindy. So.
All right, I love the Nomads. They were on last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, have a great night.
You
good
too.
Luck.
Bye. Stop. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
I like phone calls like that. So, has anybody here had an experience, other than Stephen, the sad experience of having a bi or straight friend and you were kind of like brothers and then you had sex and then it ruined it?
Actually, I would like to share a little
anecdote.
No. Because the whole time, you know, we were talking with that guy, I had this story going over in my head, you know. Actually, you know, this was like an old school friend, you know. We were best friends since like elementary school and then like up into high school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know who I was. Like, you know, he was... I had a very troubled childhood. He was always there for me. So, you know, it was very easy for me to become quite attached.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he was the one who initiated my first gay experience.
Wow.
He is the one who started it.
Wow.
And, you know, he
is... Well, you are cute.
Huh?
You are cute. I can understand.
Oh, thank you.
Please, we won't be able to get his head out the door.
Which one?
Yes.
Well, if it's difficult to, you know, we just remove the binding clothing and find something to lube him to slide him out.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. He was the one who initiated my first gay experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's... That's what started getting me, well, not what made me start questioning my sexuality, but, you know,
realizing.
Got me really thinking about it, realizing things about myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we repeated that several times, and you know, it got to where, you know, things in his life and my life were getting more and more difficult, and we'd spend like months apart not being able to see each other because of things with his family, things with my family, and then when we'd see each other, it was like such a fantastic reunion. It was like it's inexplainable. I mean, I felt such profound attachment for him, and it eventually evolved into a romantic love. I loved him with absolutely every fiber of my being, and I could have sworn that he felt the same way about me.
However,
after he had a bad runabout with drugs, he was sitting in a rehab and had an epiphany, and he was taken over by the Holy Ghost and turned evangelist and said he would not, he would stifle his emotions that he felt for me and not do anything like that with me ever again because God says it's bad.
The Holy Ghost is such a whore, just going around gathering all the good guys, you taking them off to be his own.
Yeah. I was left for Jesus.
Wow. Wow. It's only because Jesus is hung like that.
Like what?
Jimmy, it's a visual. Look over here. Like this. Oh. Jesus is hung.
Come on, Jimmy, you were there.
No, but I was severely brokenhearted. I mean, yeah. I remember the phone conversation I had with him. I was in Corpus Christi at the time. He was in Conroe. I called him because, you know, I had felt this profound love for him for years. And so I had called him with the intentions of telling him that I loved him as more than a friend, as more than a brother. And I told him that, and he told me.
And then he unloaded on you.
He unloaded on me with that. And he's like, Seth, I can only see you as a brother to me. And I was so crushed. I think I cried on the garage floor for 9 hours. I was such an emotional wreck. Mm-hmm. There was literally a puddle on the floor.
And it hurt inside.
Oh, yes, it hurt so much. I didn't get over that for a while. I mean, I was damaged goods to begin with, but that just really set me over the edge.
Wow.
I mean, after that, I only went out of my house to go to school. Other than that, I stayed locked up in my room staring at my ceiling.
It's like, how do you compete with God?
Going off of that, I went through the same thing when, I mean, there was a lot of turmoil and stuff I went through after CJ, just use the abbreviation,
yeah.
I broke up type thing. But, it was, I regret it in that, but he was hot, so, but anyway. Yeah. But, it was really hard. And then from that, then became the anger stage and a lot of different things. So, but it was extremely hard to get over, and for a long time. And, that was at the time I was just coming out to my parents, and we were going through the whole Exodus thing. So that just compounded the situation and made it worse. And it was like, well, is this something that I really want to go through the rest of my life? What is this I'm going through? And one of my best friends, Clay, helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And helped me go through and meet some people in Houston and find out a bunch of people and understand that, you know, there is a community out here that helps and understands and has been there. And the older people that have been there and, they can converse like this and talk.
Yeah.
And it really helped a lot. So if the caller's still listening, get out there and meet some other friends that can help you. And for whatever the address is here, love it. Come up here.
Yeah. Hang out with us on Saturday nights.
We're a fun crowd.
Or, P-Flag.
My pants have come down twice on this
community
evening.
Community Center, there's...
and he does have red hair.
Of course, I'm in here.
The Archive Association. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of... But, on the other side is, what? Since the end of the company,
yeah.
I sent a notice to the IRS that he got a $5,000. He took a check for $5,000. So I told the IRS.
You're kidding me.
No, that's how he bankrupted the company.
Oh my goodness.
So I told the IRS that he got a $5,000 bonus. They were looking for him. That was when I was getting into the bitter stage.
When we were made the comment about that, you know, we got a meat market up here and you're saying you're the butcher?
Well, I'm single. If
In history this past week, July 22nd, 1991, Tracy Edwards escapes from Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment.
Oh, my God.
Handcuffs still attached. After being summoned to the scene, Milwaukee police encountered the partial remains of 11 previous victims. So we're talking about butchers, not just...
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
But I was once head over heels in love with somebody who is now one of my two closest friends in the world.
Actually, me too.
And I have joked to him many times over the years intervening that that you know, I was in love with him, and then I got to know him. I mean, you know, and it was just a thing of. First I was like, wow, you're cool and you're kind of cute and all that, and then I had some pretty intense feelings, and whenever I saw this person with other people, I got kind of jealous. And
imagine that.
Yeah, me jealous? An Italian Taurus jealous? Never.
Oh, don't go there with the Italian Taurus thing. That was my 9-month affair that took me 5 years to get over.
Yeah. Well.
Sometimes you can have a reverse effect, too.
You know, it's just a thing. And now the person in question is, you know, the closest thing I have to a little brother.
Aww.
And there's not an iceberg's chance in... You know,
you're never going to see him naked.
That anything would ever physically happen between us. I mean, ever.
It all depends on how much you lead with your heart.
Yeah.
You know, I.
As I said, I'm a Taurus. We all lead with our heart.
I think people have listened to the show here. No, I mean, I was in 1 month, 8 month relationship. A couple years ago, and it took me a good 2.5-3 years to...
You're still not over it.
No, I'm a lot better with it.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But, you know, the problem with that was other people could see the problem in that relationship and no one could tell it to you.
Yeah.
You weren't listening.
I went into it with blinders and, you know, afterwards I saw all the signs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took me, you know, like I said, it took about 2.5 years and met up, saw him again and spent the time and apologized for the venom that I spewed. It was a weird, convoluted way that made me see the light that I was, that I had a problem with that. And it was actually because of a person who used to hang out at the show here a lot, now up in New York again, Chris.
Yeah.
Mikey, Crystal, whatever the hell name you knew him as when he was...
The thing of it is, you know, lots of times your friends can see you're headed towards a world of hurt.
Yeah.
And you don't ever listen to your friends.
No. Mm-hmm.
Start listening. And that doesn't... I'm not just applying that to you, Chris. That goes to everybody.
You know, I could have saved myself a world of hurt.
The thing is, you just... It's like, I fall hard and fast. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of other people, when they just get so wrapped up, they focus so much energy and attention onto this other person that, you know, they don't want to think that something could go awry.
I know.
So sometimes if, you know, their friends are foreboding them, you know, don't do this, or they're warning them about this, or, you know, this person's done this in the past and they might do it again, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're not going to want to hear that sort of thing. They don't want to even think about the chance, you know, that it could go wrong.
That's right.
And then they don't want to, and then, you know, I've often done this. I'm like, after it's over and done with, I'm like, why didn't you tell me?
We tried.
Why didn't you tell me
that
this was headed down, you know, something?
We tried.
You know?
Yeah.
Love and justice may be blind, but hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah. and you know, I've been in this situation where, when, you know, I tried gently to tell a friend that they were headed towards a world of hurt, and they weren't listening, and then I sat them down for a real heart-to-heart, and they got pissed at me.
Yeah.
And so... You know, you lose a friend for a little while until they come back sheepishly and say, oops, you were right.
In which case, I would just smile. But then I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Mm.
But, yeah, I've done that with my friends as well, you know. I've,
yeah,
like, sat them down, you know, hey, this guy's no good for you, or this girl's no good for you. These are all the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all their character flaws. These are all the things holding them back from commitment. And they get so irritated, so angry. And it's like, I'm just trying to help you. I care about
just
you. I'm
trying
love you,
to keep
friend.
You from hurting, yeah.
And then it's like, other times I don't want to do anything because I know they're not going to listen anyway, and mm-hmm. I don't want them to be mad at me, because a couple of my friends, you know, I've also, you know, I've asked them, why didn't you tell me, when they really didn't tell me until after the fact, and they're like, because I knew you wouldn't listen anyway.
Yeah,
that's true.
Sometimes
a lot of people won't listen.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fine just to, you know, pop a bowl of popcorn and sit by and just watch the train wreck. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm the kind of nature that, you know, if I could sit back and watch the train wreck that became of that, the kettle corn would have been on.
I mean, I was saying this to somebody earlier today. It's interesting. Today there was an excess of having to be Papa Merlin. And in one situation, it was one of my street kids who was getting beat up by somebody who ostensibly was a boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, no, we don't do that.
No, not in this community.
No.
Not in front of Papa Merlin.
You don't do it in front of Papa Merlin, number one.
He has a huge staff.
And he's not afraid to use it.
He's a javelin gold medalist.
I mean, and the other situation was, you know, a situation where somebody was trying to save somebody from something. And all I could, and the primary thing I could tell them is that, you know, you can sit, when people are deep into something, when they want something just the way they want it and they can't see the forest for the trees, you can save people from absolutely everything except themselves.
That's true.
I mean, if somebody is not willing to see that there is a problem, to see that there is, you know, a train wreck about to occur, you know, if they refuse, no matter how much you mouth off about it on a constant basis, they're not going to hear you, because all they can see is what is their little blinders world.
I lost a very good friend that way.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you just, and there's no way, unless they want to hear it, there's nothing you can do. It drives me crazy because I've lost friends because of that. I mean, I recently found out that yet another friend of mine died. And you know, his whole young life, and he never made it, you know, he'd never made it to 30, was a train wreck, you know? It was. One thing was either happening to him, and he was handling it badly, and he took all the wrong ways to handle it, you know, all the chemical ways to handle it, and, you know, it ended his life, you know? You can't say... You can talk and talk, but you can't save people from themselves.
No, there's a friend of mine right now who's having problems with alcohol. And we joke that he's a lush and everything, but, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'm not going to tell him, hey, you have a problem. I've finally reached the decision he's going to have to figure it out for himself, because he doesn't realize he's got a problem. You know, and it's until he's drowning in the bottom of that glass, until he's drowning in the bottom of the bottle, then he might notice, by then it'll be too late.
We have to get worse before we can get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had an incident, speaking about Speaking about the guy that was on the phone, he was worried that maybe if he get with this guy, he might screw up his friendship. I had this friend of mine, one of my straight relationships. We was friends for like maybe 20 years. We've known each other all the way back from high school. And we started liking each other. And he really wanted to be my girlfriend. And it was like, no, I was afraid to do it. So I kept telling him no because I was worried that it might screw up our friendship as we end up having sex and everything. So about a year later, he gets with this other person. And she's very like jealous and stuff. And he ends up getting pregnant. She's getting pregnant by him. And now she took him away and she's very jealous. So I kind of lost him anyway. So it's kind of like, if I would have stayed with him, we would have had a relationship, I probably would have still been with him. So I'm constantly going through this, should have, could have, would have, you know, type thing. So sometimes it happens like that, too. You end up losing them anyway.
Yeah.
Some things are unavoidable.
You know, in the end, you are responsible, and you have control of one person in the universe. Yourself.
Yeah.
How other people react to certain things.
Or think about things.
Or think about things. How things evolve inside their heads. You have no control over, you know. Two different people are going to react two different ways to somebody telling them they love them, you know. I mean,
well, man, I tried to tell him to stay away from her because I knew he was going to get pregnant with her. He's the type of person that's very, very careful, and I knew because she was that type of female that'll poke holes in condoms and stuff like that, because she was so jealous and so clingy that she did not want him to have any other friends or anything. And that's, but he just didn't hear it. It was like, you know, so I let it go. Now it's like I haven't heard from him probably 7 years or something like that.
Okay, let's go to a little bit of music.
something upbeat.
Yes, well,
something peppy.
And of course, you know, I have a tendency that when I play a lot of music, I like to go with themes.
Gloom,
before
despair,
it was our tribute to masturbation.
Angry on me.
Well, this song, this next set is one word titles.
Yay!
So get ready for
Share,
Sweat, Doll, and Move.
Interesting.
In that order.
Oh my baby, that look just drives me crazy. Tight beard, big chest, oh yes, I must confess. These men, they drive me wild, no longer in denial. We all love who we must love, no one should be put on trial. Protest me when all we want is our partner's love in hand. While you are dropping bombs in someone else's foreign land, I want to live in peace, I want to spread some love. So here we go and grab a piece of what I got in store. And everyone is dancing, and everyone is grooving, and everyone.
This ain't even on the roof.
Oh, you know you want it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know you want it.
Ooh,
you know you want it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, Kevin. I rode the short bus. Hey, Kevin. I wore cowboy boots to school. Hey, Kevin. My hair was big and my skin sucked. Hey, Kevin. I ate my lunch alone. I was the last one picked for the team. Shirt to skin, you know you couldn't find me. I got a blue ribbon at the science fair. I wasn't cool enough, I wasn't hip enough for your click to share. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. Got straight A's when I was trying not to fail. You were at the dance, I was home watching rubber men grow. The yearbook called you the most likely to succeed. While I was sick that day, my photo's nowhere to be seen. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was dead. Guess who? You don't remember me. Hey, guess who? You're singing to my song right now. You see, it's you I have to thank for this bird. It's true, what they say, the meek shall hear the earth. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10.
Don't tell.
something freaky thing I'm gonna show ya.
That was Jim Vararose with Move, the former American Idol geek turned into a little hottie. Before that was Kevin Cahoon with Doll. And starting it all off was Big Nug with Sweat. Kind of music you're only going to hear on After Hours. As once again they heard the sound of my voice. Yay. And like Pavlovian dogs come a-running. We're running as close as they can.
We're coming!
Yeah, you wish.
Oh, this is the one.
Not for the masturbation.
Alright. That was good music.
That's my tribute to one word titles.
Ah.
Sweat, Doll, Move.
Gotcha. You're good. You're good. You like to do those theme things, don't you?
Yeah.
You and Jim, you know, Jim used to be really good at that, too, on Esoteric Adventures.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. A little bit of news stories, picking up off the internet here.
Okay.
Now, I was very touched. Dateline NBC had on, of course, that wonderful programming, To Catch a Predator.
Oh, yes, I've been watching that.
And apparently, they went to New Jersey. And there's no fags in New Jersey.
What about the ex-governor?
Yeah. I guess once they chased him off, you know, they figured no. Because their sting only was trying to get guys coming down to fool around with a 13 or 14-year-old girl.
Oh.
And it was hilarious this time watching these guys. It's like they realized they were coming. First of all, one guy brought a nice amount of marijuana.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, yeah. Trying to get her, you know, here's just have a smell of this. It's like, oh, goody. You know, then when they come out and they bust and they said, yeah, I'm going to get arrested when I go outside, right? So he carefully rewrapped his marijuana, and put it back in his pocket, and went outside to be arrested.
Mm.
I mean, some of the guys are just like, I just couldn't believe the stories. I was laughing so hard. chatting with somebody at the same time going, oh, I can't believe he said that. One guy finally asked, you know, well, when am I going to be on television?
You're kidding.
I applauded him. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm waiting for them to start showing the reverse, where they show the little 15 and 16-year-olds trying to pick up the 40 and 30-year-old
men. Yeah.
I did that when I was 15.
But speaking on those sorts of things you see on Dateline.
I didn't do that. I just messed around with the football team.
Ooh.
All of them.
It was a baseball team.
Actually.
Did it seem big bad time?
What, huh?
And 4-H. God bless 4-H.
Amen.
At least you saved a few sheep.
On that note, here's an interesting little story of a person planning for sex online.
Yes.
Was a guy 69.
Oh, goodness.
His age. Used a credit
good number.
Used his credit card to reserve a hotel room for 4 nights so he could have sex with a Colorado woman and her 11-year-old daughter.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you remember Dateline, you know, they always, you know, ask them to bring gifts so you know their intent.
Uh-huh.
Well, in the car that he had driven to the hotel, federal agents found rope.
Rope?
An enema bottle.
Oh, my God.
Condoms. And Viagra.
Oh, my God. Well, duh. He's 69.
The guy's been interacting on the internet from January to July with an undercover officer. He was arrested with charges of crossing a straight line with the intent to engage in sexual activities with an underage girl, using the internet to attempt to entice a minor to engage in sexual activities, traveling in interstate commerce for sex with a minor.
Ooh.
The rope was for the girl. He had planned to tie her up.
Mm. Ooh.
We haven't been tied up in a while.
He had told the fictitious Colorado mother, this is a glorious threesome that I am looking forward to. He's also looking at 30 years to life in prison.
Yeah.
He's 69 years old. 30 years is life. Yes.
To quote a line which, unfortunately, I get to quote a lot from an old movie. You, sir, are an idiot.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Isaiah Washington will be returning to television.
Oh.
All right, so I thought we'd heard the end of this already.
No.
No such luck.
I loved it when he was on Larry King and basically blamed T.R. Knight for making his comments.
What?
He was basically saying that, you know, if T.R. Knight wouldn't have been publicizing that this happened, it would have all gone away.
I don't think T.R. Knight did publicize it.
No. Well, he went on Ellen and came out saying, oh, I've been outed. Okay, that's fine. You want to blame him for, you know, the first time when you threw McDreamy up against the wall and said, I'm not your faggot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about at the Golden Globes when you said, I didn't call him a faggot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he seemed almost very sincere. And, you know, I love Larry King trying to get him to say, come on, say faggot. Come on. He's like, I can't say the F word. What is it? What's the F word? Come on. Tell me. Come on. You can tell me. It's just the two of us. Come on.
Just the two of us and 25 million viewers.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And also, if you saw the Larry King thing with Isaiah Wash, it's like, his way of apologizing, you know, I didn't mean faggot in the way of it being a gay man, you know, in where I come from, you know.
A bundle of sticks?
Yeah. You know, faggot's like, you know, just the same thing as calling someone a pussy.
So that's good too.
That was his.
Oh my god.
That's okay.
That was his justification.
That makes so much more.
Yeah.
Makes it so much more classy.
He will now be working. He has a 5-show stint on The Bionic Woman.
Oh my god.
What as?
Hopefully they'll do some of that extra wire and shut his mouth up.
Please let him be the doctor she kicks in the face in the first episode.
According to the paper, he'll be playing an outsider with a mysterious agenda who's introduced early in the series and may either help the superpowered Jamie or take her down.
So he's not going to be on the other series?
So he's reprising his role from Grey's Anatomy on...
So he's not going to be on Grey's Anatomy anymore?
No, he was fired.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize he was fired.
No, I'm sorry. Technically, he wasn't fired. His contract was up, and they decided not to to renew it.
Imagine that.
So technically, he wasn't fired. Okay. He was just let go. Which is why he was on Larry King crying.
He was not invited to return.
Yes.
he was not given an offer to return.
Oh, and topping the movies this week so far has been two movies that some people say have set the homosexual agenda back a couple of years.
What?
I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Oh, boy.
Is the number one movie in America right
Are
now.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Has anyone seen it? We've seen the ads, and they're going
I don't want to see it.
I'm sorry. I am so sick of storylines where people are pretending to be gay for some benefit, some... Pull the wool over somebody's eyes sort of thing.
Well, according to VH1, when they did their Best Week Ever,
yeah.
They said basically you take all the gay jokes of the 80s, and this is that movie.
Really?
You know, where basically, yeah, supposedly there's a scene where...
And they're still telling them.
One of them goes into a, you know, career day at a school.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's been publicized that these two firefighters are... acting as a gay couple. And so one of the kids, this elementary school kid, makes the joke of, do you have two jobs? He goes, no, I'm just a firefighter. My daddy says you're also a butt pirate.
Oh, I was like, goodness.
Who hasn't used that joke in 20 years?
Yeah.
So combine that with Hairspray.
And what's wrong with Hairspray?
Well,
John Travolta is hideous in a dress.
John Travolta is a
trying to play divine. Yeah,
John Travolta is a Scientologist. Scientologist is anti-homophobic.
Oh, gotcha.
Is very homophobic. Although their spokesman is. As flamey as you can be. Hi, Tom. You know, he's taken the role away from, you know, several gay actors who have played it. I mean, well, Divine could not reprise the role.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Harvey Fierstein.
Yes,
Stein,
true.
Steinerstein.
Yeah, that would have been
Stein.
Perfect.
He's the one who started it on Broadway. I mean, even John Panette played Divine for a while.
Yeah.
Played... what's the character?
Edna Turnblatt.
Edna Turnblatt.
Yeah.
So, you've got that. But so far, Chuck and Larry is number one this weekend. I love how Drudge Report put it there. Chuck and Larry Topps hairspray.
That's ridiculous.
Tacky.
Yeah, it's tacky. Especially when it's under the story of Tammy Faye Baker, Tammy Faye Messinger dying.
Oh, my goodness.
As I said, as we speak on Monday morning, stock in Revlon will be crashing left, yeah, right, and center.
Let's see.
Sell, sell, sell.
Oh, Lance Bass has a new boyfriend.
That's nice.
Is he hot?
Wipe your chin.
Yeah.
Wipe your chin, honey.
Well, I don't think he's catching all the drool.
Yeah, he has a monitor. We don't.
Oh, yeah. No.
I was... wasn't sure, you know, when it said that his boyfriend... sorry, my tongue went stiff.
Is that the only thing?
No. When they said his new boyfriend's a model...
What a shock.
Pedro Andrade.
Oh,
and I click on the picture, and he's floating in a pool, and... Oh, well.
So we get it. Lance is into pretty men.
Back to reality.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. He looks good clothed, even.
He's a model.
Yeah, it doesn't say what he models. If he's for a specific one there. Oh, and Lance Bass is in the movie. I Pronounce You Luck and Chuck and Larry. He plays a wedding singer.
Apparently, Richard Chamberlain makes a cameo, and so does Dave Matthews.
And Lance Bass will be in Hairspray on Broadway.
Oh, that reminds me. I had a date with a model yesterday.
No surprise there.
Gorgeous, gorgeous,
I
gorgeous
hope you didn't
man.
Take him to dinner, honey.
That's a waste.
I took him all sorts of places, not dinner. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't do anything...
Oh my god, is that a first?
No, that's not a first. I don't sleep with people I like. No,
boy, was that a raging endorsement.
I don't have sex on the first date or the second date. I'll kiss on the
What's
first date.
What's a date?
A date is, you know, getting together with a person with the intent of getting to know each other on the basis of starting something romantic.
Kind of another interesting stories I can bring up here, but I'm not seeing.
But boy, was he gorgeous. He's Spanish, Portuguese, and like 10% Japanese. And you know, mutts
like
are the prettiest
your,
people.
Yeah.
Exactly how far back in the family tree do you have to go before you become 10% Japanese?
Well, it's like...
I was afraid to ask what 10% of him was.
His grandmother was half Japanese.
The Spanish and the Portuguese were eating sushi when they...
That was sashimi, but anyway.
Ian McKellen takes gay activism to Singapore, and he is told, don't get naked.
What?
Huh? Ian McKellen naked.
I don't think I'd want to see him naked, though.
He's doing a performance of King Lear, and when he did it in England, he did it all nude.
Ah!
And he's doing it in Singapore, and they said, we don't want to see your cane, apparently. I'm sorry.
Isn't he over 70 now?
I think he tripped over 70 a lot.
Because I seem to recall him saying something about being 60-something when he was making the Lord of the Rings movies.
I don't know, but I remember last time when I saw his boyfriend, you know, apparently it was take your grandson to the Oscars away.
Yeah.
Not that I can't blame him, but hey. Let's see if it says how old he is.
Good God.
You know who's a gorgeous old man? David Bowie.
Oh, yeah, he is hot.
Thank you.
I like him in the background.
I love him. So many people are like, yeah, I know who he is. I saw Labyrinth. No, you don't know who he is. You just saw one movie he acted in.
He's the man most likely to actually walk upside down on a set and then say, okay, now you can start the special effects.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he's just that twisted.
I liked his Ziggy Stardust days. Those were pretty good.
Yeah.
Posing well, Billy Idol's hot too. Album cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, but David Bowie's in the family.
And what pact with the devil did Billy Idol make? Not that I believe in the devil, but, I mean, he the last picture I saw of him, he didn't look a day older than he did back when he was actually talented. And making bank, you know.
I heard he's trying to get back with his old group, Generation X.
Wow.
Generation X? They're now what, Generation Z?
I apologize, he is not 70. He just turned...
80.
No. Damn it, I have to do math. 68.
Quick, take off the shoes.
68.
Ah, 68.
Okay, I see. So get ready. May 25th, next year, Ian McKellen, 69.
All right. I'll be 20 in 15 days.
Mm. All right. Watch out, world.
Come back here, we'll give you your birthday swats.
Okay.
Fish still hanging up there? Oh.
No, the big fish is gone.
It's somewhere. It's probably in the credenza.
If I wanted to get slapped with a fish, I'd go to a lesbian's house.
No, it's a wooden fish we have.
We had a wooden fish up on the wall.
Wooden fish? That must be uncomfortable. Is that like George Washington's wooden dentures?
Harry Potter is finally out, and supposedly he dies in this book. Has anybody read it yet?
No.
Don't say anything about it.
I went to one of the openings, one of the midnight thingies last night.
And they were like, oh my God.
What a shock, right?
People were like, oh my God, it's a real wizard.
I had one ring.
They probably went and said, you have a great costume. And you go, I'm not in a costume.
Did you win the contest?
I didn't go into the contest. But, I mean, I had one raving biatch look at me and say something. This isn't a Lord of the Rings get-together. I'm like, look, bitch. It's like, step off.
There was a couple of women who showed up at the one I went to.
I will use the Imperious Curse on you.
I was like, step off or you'll find this wand in a place that will require surgery to remove.
Talk about getting splinched.
I saw a lot of my friends at that thing last night. That was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I couldn't get the book because I don't have the money for it right now, but I had a good time. And oh my God, were there members of the family filling that room.
Well, look at the one you went to.
Yeah, right. I did go to the Borders right here outside the neighborhood. I mean, oh my God. I mean, there were more queens there than, you know.
And somebody got in trouble for uploading a copy of the book early. They are actually trying to track this person down.
Some moron was outside. Somebody drove by the thing, mm-hmm. and was screaming out some part of the book. Spoiler about the book, and I was inside, so I didn't hear it. And I'm like, I'm like, go frell yourself. I'm like, you know, it's just. I do not want people telling me how this. I want to read this. This is like, you know, even if somebody did, I'd still read the book. That's what books are for, to read.
And that's the one thing about Harry Potter that everyone's got so excited about. You know, yeah, it's about wizards and witchcraft and all that other stuff they want to say. The kids are actually reading a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is the remarkable thing is that. How many books truly are there out there that can capture the attention of full-grown adults and little children?
Yeah.
And still...
Those were scary pictures, though. They were showing of the adults going there in costume.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, was, you know. One of my friends went as Rubius Hagrid.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. And he's got, and he doesn't have to do a whole lot of work. Because, I mean, he's got hair down to his backside, which he frizzed out, like, majorly. He's got a long brown beard. He's a sizable gentleman. Of,
I know who you're talking about.
And everything but the little pink parasols. Another Hagrid had that, you know.
Well, you know, some people are like that.
And
my ex is probably still called Hairless Potter. I've chatted with this one guy, this Japanese kid from going to school in California.
Uh-huh.
Swear to God, it looks like an Asian version of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. His one profile pic. It's like,
what's his screen name?
You'd be scared on that site, I think.
Heck, which one?
Bigger City.
Oh, Bigger City.
I'm not on that one, but I'm on Adam for Adam.
Hey.
And several others.
Didn't you see your phone number on some bathroom wall somewhere, too?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. If they sponsor us, we don't sponsor them.
There's a
I say, my nephew, he's 14 now, but the last 3 or 4 years, his glasses, he's been wearing Harry Potter type glasses.
Actually,
he kind of has that look. He's kind of tall and skinny. So
my little brother got Harry Potter glasses about the time the fourth book came out. But do you think that because of this book's popularity that J.K. Rowling will eventually join the other literary genuses in the canon?
No.
Probably not.
No, I mean, it's...
People aren't that... People are rarely that nice to this kind of fantasy book.
Well, I mean, she's the number one seller. It's hard to say how it's going to be received.
Yeah. Maybe not right away, but...
But it's kind of created like this national movement type thing. It's created so much controversy, stirred up so many things. It's captured audiences of every age and generation across a whole nation.
Well, it's international. Like, I mean, exactly. You know,
it's the only book that's been translated in more languages than that is the Bible.
And you know...
And they're both works of fiction. written by demented, out-of-work people.
Yeah.
She lost her job. She started writing a book.
People will, for one reason or another, have gotten obsessed about these, including the folks who want to ban books because it's teaching them witchcraft. Well, as a practicing witch, I tell you, there's not a damn thing in that book could possibly work as witchcraft. not going to happen.
Those spells are just merely like Latin and Greek roots for certain words, and some of it's just purely
pure poppycock.
If you want to go Patronum, expect the Father.
Go for something more realistic and go after Angela Lansbury, because Bedknobs and Broomsticks, they had a whole bunch of...
There you go.
That movie. Yeah,
there was more stuff in that actually comes from historical and that is one of my favorite movies.
Me too.
That's
movie.
High up on the list.
Well, you know, anytime you go flying around on a bed. With
Well, especially with
works for me.
Now or then?
Definitely not now.
Yes, where else but in a British film you can watch two adults and two kids having a screw on a bed and go flying?
There you go.
If you haven't seen the movie, it sounds really dirty.
Yes,
right. I've seen the movie.
You've seen the movie, you understand what we're saying. Because you have to screw the bed knob to make the bed to go to take you to that other world.
And like Harry Potter, you know, it spawned its own porn, you know, Big Knobs and Broomsticks. And Harry Palmer and the Flight of the Fancy.
The Harry Potter.
I forget which one of those things.
We can't forget Lord of the Cockrings.
And on that note.
Yes, I think we've done it for the night.
According to the big red sign, we need to start rapping.
No, not that guy. You've been listening too.
After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Coming up at the top of the hour is Laura Palooza.
And she's here, ready to bring you cool, cool music.
Last shout-outs real quick.
Bye.
Much love, be well, buonanotte, and blessed be.
I hope.
Don't do anything I would do twice.
Boy, is that leaving space.
We'll be putting a list up online for you, though.
Yes.
This is After Hours. If you can get in touch with us, it's afterhours@kpft.org. The station address is 419 Lovett Boulevard, L-O-V-E-T-T.
Love, T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We love hearing from you. Your love mail, hate mail, news ideas, story ideas.
Dirty pictures!
Congrats, ladies and gentlemen, after 60 years, finally, his voice is beginning to break.
Yeah, my nuts are finally dropping.
We'll be back next week, hopefully with... Well, we won't have a host next week either, so...
We don't know what we're doing next week.
But then again, we never do. And now it is... Your PSAs.
If you wanted to discover what KPFT is like during its most energetic moments, now's your chance. Starting August 4th, KPFT kicks off its Summer Sizzle Pledge Drive, and we need your help to make it a success. You can put your spare time to use by volunteering to answer phones during the drive. Our phone volunteer trainings are Thursday, July 26th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, July 29th at 11 a.m. The sessions will be held at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard. Your efforts make a difference and can make this a fun and successful drive. Evening and weekend shifts are available. Again, the phone volunteer training dates are Thursday, July 26th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, July 29th at 11 a.m. They will be held at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard, near downtown Houston. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Good things come around every so often. This good thing's been coming around for 20 years. Year 21 is coming up Saturday, July 28th at the Last Concert Cafe. I'm talking about the Watermelon Dance and Summer Social. What a great time at this family-friendly event for all. White Ghost Shivers, Blent, Plump, Pot Roast, Fallen Folk, Bruce James, Thread Atlas, Opie Hendrix, Kenneth Scott, the Hightailers, and Jennifer Grassman will all take their turns on stage just to please your ears. These local musicians work hard all year long, but they take this day to stop and salute KPFT. The $10 door fee benefits the station. So come on out and enjoy a slice of the...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.